Live from Fort Bragg's backyard, this is the show that put the 110 Nation on the map. There is only one nation, the 110 Nation, and you're listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show. Covering each and every sport across the board, there is no sport too large or too little. It's time to talk the talk. Here we go. Here's the man, the founder, and your host, Mr. CJ Sports.
Welcome everybody to the 110 Nation Sports Show. I am your host, Mr. CJ Sports. You can follow me at Mr. CJ Sports. Follow the 110 Nation at 110 Nation. Check it out on Facebook. My personal fan page, Mr. CJ Sports, the 110 Nation fan page. The 110 Nation Sports. Also, jump over to the site, www.the110nationsports.com. For all the latest, got a lot of things going on over there. Figure out how to find previous shows. Have become a marketing partner on the latest talk ideas that we got coming out of the 110 Nation press releases. Meet the staff, how to join the 110 Nation, and much, much more over there. So make sure you go over to www.the110nationsports.com and check us out. I got to make sure that I thank Carolina Sports Plus. Without this great marketing partner, we wouldn't be able to do what we do or grow the way we grow. So I want to make sure that I thank those guys over there. They're also sponsoring my top 50 in the NCAA program preview countdown. Just dropped number 45 this morning. Working our way down. Of course, about halfway through, we're going to announce a little contest, a little giveaway. And Carolina Sports Plus is going to hook us up, hook somebody up with some college football merchandise. So make sure that you guys go over to the site, www.offinishsports.com. As all the dates when everything's been released, and even to let you know when the contest. Make sure you guys follow us on Facebook or like us on Facebook, as the details will be released on the fan page. And what you need to do to put your name into the hat and be eligible to win. All right. Make sure you guys do that. A lot of things going on. Tomorrow night, we got a lot of things going on. Tomorrow night, we got Alan Bestwick joining Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig, 8 o'clock. Make sure you guys tune in to the show. Alan Bestwick is one of the best in the biz. He's worked for NASCAR and done coverage for NASCAR on ESPN. Has been around as far as I can remember. So make sure you guys tune in to that. We're working on a great show tomorrow night over there at Race Chat Live. You find them every Thursday night right here on the 110 Nation Sports Radio Network. Make sure you guys check that out. Check them out. Tune in. It's always a great time. It's always a good laugh. Make sure you guys tune in. This Monday night, Izzo had made his return, our NHL expert. For those that are hockey fans, make sure every Monday night you tune in, 8:30, Izzo hit his 5-year mark. It's hard to believe it is really crazy to think that Izzo has been on those for 5 years at this point. I didn't even realize, hadn't even a clue that it's been that long until Facebook memory popped up Monday. And I talked about it that Monday, 5 years ago, about him being on the show for Monday or Wednesday, whatever. I think he was on Wednesday or Tuesday night show. Monday. But this year just happened to fall, his anniversary date happened to fall on his return back. Yeah, got us all the latest going on in the NHL and getting us ready for the return of NHL. Got got a phone call last night evening, and got to talking, and I know in the back of my mind, I have this really unpleasant feeling in my gut, the very bottom of my gut. I know that there's a possibility that we're not going to have an NFL. We're not going to have college football. We're not going to have Major League Baseball. We're not going to have them return, finish up the season for the NBA. I know that this is a possibility. I know that as agendas, because you can't convince me otherwise, but CJ, there's a spike. There's a spike in this COVID-19, that corona. First of all, only thing that's letting us know is that more people are being tested because there's more test-to-test and it's free. And so we essentially have the same amount of people with it. We just know about it more than we knew back a couple months ago. But let's feed into the hysteria. Let's play their agenda right now. There's not been a spike in deaths. So this virus that I've pretty much called nothing more than the flu from the beginning, who at its peak only had a 1% rate of fatality, now you have a spike in cases, not really, but tests showing that, and has inflated these numbers, but not a spike in deaths. So therefore, that one little percent that you had of not making it through this COVID-19 now just came down to almost no percent. I know in Ohio, the number is, fatality is 0.000727. That is the death rate of this. And then we're finding out more and more and more how tests are, you got unswabbed swabs being coming back positive, so these people can get the hospitals, get these money, and we're finding out that deaths are not even actually COVID. It's a delusional number. Anyway, now I'm not going to continue to get into the politics, and if you feed into this, then bless your hearts. I don't know what to tell you. I don't live in fear. I deal with tens of thousands of dollars every single day. I deal with hundreds of thousands of people every single day. I deal with tons of people coming off I-75. I deal with the Dayton's finest. And never once I even batted an eye. I understand those that fall in that age range, the kids, the older, the underlying issues, health issues, I understand. And Dayton is actually going to a mandatory back wearing mask everywhere, 8 a.m. Friday, which is just ridiculous. Now you're keeping these people's immune systems down. And, of course, when you finally allow these people to actually do, let your bodies do what it's supposed to do, it's not going to be able to do it. But anyway, I understand what's their agenda going on, and the media playing into the fear that there's a possibility that we're not going to have sports. I completely understand this. And to this point, I've not seen anything saying that none of the sports are going to return. Even though that was said in my conversation, and I said, no, just minor league baseball. Well, no, I saw MLB. No. Right, to this point, I looked it up. Every major sport is a go at this point. The only change so far that has happened since this conversation last night is today the NFL announced that instead of four games preseason, they're playing two games. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But at this present time, at 8:15 on June 1st, there's not any cancellation of any sports. But I understand they're good. I understand that things can change. We've just got off, and the things are just about starting to open back up. And here, there's a lot of places shutting everything back down, and I know there's a lot of possibility of things will close back down, and people will, I understand the possibility. In this conversation, it was brought up that nobody cares about sports at this point in time. That the only sport that was even available was NASCAR, and Bubba Wallace kind of ruined that. Which Bubba Wallace and NASCAR, here's a word of advice. You guys screwed up and was all in on this. Bubba Wallace screwed up, was all in on this. RPM, you screwed up, you're all in this. And to come out with a photo of what you're going to say was the news that doesn't do anything look like the pictures that we saw before. And it looks like a brand new rope that was just conveniently put in the middle versus what all the pictures showed, what they were talking about. That just many of you guys screwed up and overreacted. You're going to continue this crusade. And then we're going to listen to Mike Joy and Jeff Gordon kind of go overboard talking about Bubba all the time. We didn't hardly talk about Bubba before. The only time that they talked about Bubba Wallace is if he was involved with a wreck. Because usually the only time we heard Bubba Wallace's name, or if they were in another situation where money, conversation, and possible sponsorships and all that stuff, nothing all the time. Now, here we are this weekend, and I can't imagine and begin to even count how many times Bubba Wallace's name got brought up. And now we're listening to his radio conversations, which we hardly ever had to hear any of his conversations on the radio. NASCAR chill. You can't force feed us. You can't make us forget that this whole news thing was a hoax. You can't force feed us to like somebody that not many people are fans of. And it's not that I have an issue with them. And like I tell anybody, that's like the first cup guy that I actually got to do an interview with. So I have no issues with them. I just happen to be a Kyle Busch fan. I mean, you're not going to change the narrative here. You're not going to make people all of a sudden be fans of Bubba Wallace. People are fans of who their fans are, and it just NASCAR is going overboard with this. But anyway, talking about, I don't know why you waste your time sitting here talking sports. I don't understand why you worry about writing all the stuff and having content on your site and everything else. Nobody really cares about sports. And this was a talking point a couple of times in our conversation. And I kind of nodded and, you know, listen, guy, I'm not closed-minded enough to not listen, especially when it comes to sports, and listen to other people's point of views. And nine out of 10 times I don't agree with them, and, you know, I have my whole thought and everything else. So there's times that people have said stuff that I'm like, you know what, I didn't think of it that way. You know, you're right, or this, that, and the other. But, yeah, just like most fans, that's like the old Jordan LeBron debate. You can have that debate all day long, and, you know, you can come up with more facts. You ain't switching a LeBron fan's mind. Don't worry, you're going to change Michael Jordan. Yeah, Michael Jordan's fan.
you're not going to change a Tom Brady fan. No more you're going to try to change a Joe Montana fan's mind. You think Montana's the GOAT, that's who you think the GOAT. If you think Brady's the GOAT, that's who you think the GOAT is. And that's just the way it is. But I'm sitting here and thinking to myself, does this guy have any legitimacy into what he's saying? Like, I see the numbers. I know that, you know, since we relaunched our website back on June 11th and with the whole upgrade and everything else, and it is steadily growing at a nice pace there. If you're not checked it out, like I said, go to www.the110nationsports.com. I put a fresh article up at least one a day. I've been on, I think there's a 10 on a day, and we're already at 30 posts, and it's only been up since June 11th. I've been doing my thing here. I see our listeners and our fan page. Good Lord, our fan page were up. I mean, we're up 500. Our reach, we're up 524%. Our post engagements were up over 1,000%. New fans checking us out, we're up over 400%. So, I mean, I kind of shrugged that off. I'm like, you know, if he's right, I mean, people really don't care about sports. I wouldn't see every single week in our analytical reports the website doing better and better every single week. I wouldn't see our Facebook page up 1,000%, up 500%, up 400%. I wouldn't see the listeners and our stats on our podcast continue to grow. We wouldn't have we wouldn't have people like Alan Bestwick joining the show tomorrow night. Ain't nobody care. Why would he bother? And so I'm like, you know, the truth of the matter is here. Sports has always been my way to escape the world. And I've feel that whoever said just stick to ball and stick sports or just dribble or whatever, I think they went about it the wrong way. I think it came off the wrong way. Because no, I don't turn on sports to hear politics or to hear them preaching and pushing an agenda or this, that, and the other. I turn sports on to get away from all that. Get on the talk show for an hour on Monday, get on the talk show for an hour on Wednesday, and then produce and listen to the guys talk for an hour and a half on Thursday. Gives me an opportunity to be enclosed into a room. No work, no COVID-19, no Antifa, no Black Lives Matter, no corrupt cops, no none of this stuff. Just me, the 110 Nation, and sports. The one thing that kind of set me unique compared to other kids and other people that I knew. You know, growing up in elementary, most kids, they got up early, and if they got up early at all, and they watched cartoons before school. I got up early and went out late and watched SportsCenter until it was time to get ready for school. Before there was games that kept stats, I was keeping stats. We played RBI Baseball 3 on the Nintendo. It didn't keep stats. Oakland Athletics was one of the best teams on earth. Nine out of ten times I picked back in your days of Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, Ricky Henderson, Walt Weiss. I love pitching with Dennis Eckersley with that sidearm stuff. Dave Parker. We kept our own stats. Check Mobile. They didn't keep stats. We kept our own stats. Tecmo Basketball, same thing. We set up a whole set. As a matter of fact, I think the basketball might at that point in the time, that might have been one of the first games that might have started keeping stats. And we used to spend weekends at our friend's house, and we had four of us who would play in a season. And he played, and then once you got done, you went to sleep, you woke the next person up, it was their turn to play. And for 2-3 days straight, that's all went on. We went outside to play football or basketball or anything. We kept stats. Fantasy League, I was part of the first wave of the league players. And that involved getting your stats out of the newspaper, then typing up the standings and the results on a typewriter, then going to the library to make copies, and then go hand deliver there. There were no cell phones. There was no email and this stuff. There was none of that stuff going on. Sports has always been my way to escape everything going on in the world. But that moment of time, I just get a focus on what is going on the field, what is going on the track, which player is the best, which team is going to the playoffs. And to be honest, I could be sitting here, and who knows, I might be sitting here and nobody listening, who knows, could be one of those nights, you just never know, kind of a random draw, it would. You know, kind of defy the whole everything building up and everything I said, but well, so it might not be that we listen to tonight. All of a sudden, and nobody can click on any of the stuff I write and leave comments. I do want to shout out. I don't know if he's listening in to the show tonight, but I do want to shout out to one of our fans, especially with my top five, Brent Braswell. I do appreciate the fact that I know at least one person is taking the time. He'll make comments on my. We kind of had the same top five players. I think we had one different player in the running back, but he had a different order. Receiving top five, he wasn't too fond of my list, and he gave me his list. But I could write tomorrow and nobody jump over there to read it. And you know what? In a world that there is so much chaos, in a world right now where there is so much hate and racial tension, and craziness and all that, I honestly wouldn't care. I still would do what I do because I get an opportunity to step into the sports world and put everything out of my mind. I get for this hour tonight, for the anywhere from 30 to 60 minutes it takes me to write whatever I'm writing. I'm right now in six teams into my college top 50. Doing top fives, I've done the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, probably do tight ends and maybe another position. Then I will alphabetically go through all 32 NFL teams, giving my previews on that. The other day doing an article about the NBA season and the schedule and the keynotes. Amongst talking about the counter, the Confederate flag being banned. Amongst the whole Bubba Wallace thing. The whole Vince Carter. Thank you, Vince Carter. 22 years. He's a step away. And that's really said. I think stick to ball, stick sports, or dribble and whatever. I think it was said wrong, but no, I don't want all that. I wish that athletes would just stick to what they do professionally, whatever they want to do in their own time, keep it in their personal life. I don't like it when they get drug into the kneeling on the sideline, the LeBron James stuff, all that stuff. Fight your cause, do your thing. This is my time to escape all that craziness. And so I'm sitting there listening to a friend talk. And I'm like, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe ain't nobody listening. Maybe ain't nobody care. Maybe sports is the last thing on everybody's mind. But I need to escape the world. I need to be able to clear my mind and just focus on something that has brought me pure joy. If it's waking up early, watching SportsCenter, if it's, what, 5, 6, 7 years of T-ball / baseball playing, if it's the 3 or 4 years of football that I played, if it's in the bowling leagues that I participated in, if it was the bench press competitions that I did, whatever the case it is, let me re-enter those times of my life, some of the greatest and happiest moments. Let me get away from everything going on. I sit here and talk to myself, and nobody really cares about sports. At least I'm inside these four walls. I don't have to see all the disgust, the violence, the murders, the beatings, and everything else going on. I feel there's a lot more people out there like me than he realizes. I think there's a lot of people out there that are ready for sports, that talk sports. I'm part of. I follow different groups and different stuff, and there's daily conversations. I know they're for a week or two. Especially a couple weeks, and they started eliminating people. They it got stupid, and it wasn't about sports. It was about all this stupid political stuff. Eventually, they started eliminating people because all they doing was trying to stir the pot. And I'm like, this is not the place. One of the groups actually, I had to basically mute them so they didn't show up on my timeline. I don't want to see it. I don't. If I see sports talk or I see NFL fan, whatever groups, I don't know what groups I'm part of. The last thing I wanted to do was just start reading the post or what was talked about and not be about sports. That's the NFL has decided with this whole COVID-19 stuff that they're going to go to 2 preseason games. They're gonna change it up a little bit this year to try to be more cautious. And health measure-wise, I wish it wouldn't have took COVID-19 for this to be even a conversation. This is a conversation that most true football fans have said. I mean, what's the point of 4 preseason games? You got the first preseason game, your starters are lucky to play half the first quarter. We roll into the second game, they might play a quarter, maybe a quarter and a half. and not usually with a halftime. Third game, okay, we're getting closer to halftime. Maybe they play the first half and that's it. Then he roll into the fourth game, and they're lucky to play one drive, they play at all. So in total, your starting unit usually at max plays three quarters to a game's worth out of the four games. But CJ, this is how they scout their talent. This is how they decide. So you're going to tell me you pay these people all this money to be scouts. You guys have done your homework, your research. You have watched them play however many years of college football these people have played. Watch film on high school. And you're going to tell me that you still need four games to watch them play against other second and third string players to decide whether or not you want them to be on your team. And that's what you're going to convince me of. That you need four whole games of somebody you drafted in the fifth round to play someone else to match up against someone that was drafted in the seventh round. And that's going to be your deciding factor. Come on, man. Like, really? Two games is enough. Come in, you let your starting unit play a quarter or so, the first game, the second game, quarter, two quarters, and shut it down and ready for the NFL season. But on the flip side, let's make this an 18-game schedule. Now we got that extra 2 weeks. Let's put those 2 weeks into use. Let's get some value out of those. It never made no sense for them to have four preseason games and drag out making fans watch four games of agony there when you could get the same results as easily out of two games. And then you can get 18 games of, if your team's good, full house ticket, full house attendance versus those preseason games that I know don't sell out. Nowhere close. There's no doubt in my mind that week three preseason Green Bay Packers has nowhere close to the same attendance as any week. Unless they're eliminated, or if it's horribly bad weather. But regularly, there's nowhere close to the same attendance. So why you shoot yourself in the foot to put some piss-poor product on the field so coaches and general managers can decide on what they should already have known anyway, because it's not like you're just randomly draw names out of a hat or the NFL is assigning these teams, these players. You guys draft these players. You give them their contracts. So you already have a value in an ink signed to the contract before they even play these preseason games. So in your mind, you already have a pretty good idea where they're at or where you feel they're at. And what you've seen in their past and how they've performed on the football field. So why you need two extra preseason games to decide anything when they're playing nobody? It's not like you're putting your fifth-round pick quarterback in there to start the game. And, no, usually that quarterback's supposed to play behind your starter, your first string, and even possibly your center. Your second string, maybe possibly your third string. It's not like week two. Well, John Smith, he was drafted sixth round out of Timbuktu University, and he's going to be the starting quarterback this week. They're not going to start Cam Newton or Brian Hoyer or Jared Stidham no, they're just going to go ahead and skip to the sixth round quarterback. We're going to start him. Like, come on. Like, really? I don't get it. But the NFL is going to eliminate week one of week four. So they'll be playing week two and week three. The NFL officially is going to make this announcement tomorrow, but this is what the NFL is reporting. I just hope this doesn't lead into the season. I know there's going to be a lot of rules and stipulations. I know what it's like to, and what the rules are like to go to a church. I understand what it's like to go to a restaurant. We're supposed to have tickets. Well, we have tickets. We were supposed to go to Indianapolis for the NASCAR race this Sunday. It's what we were actually supposed to be doing, but no fans are allowed in. So we're going to cash in the tickets and go next year. I mean, not cash in, but we have an option of either putting that towards next year's tickets, or we could have got a refund. So we went ahead. This was supposed to be a year for me. Just on the sports side alone, we had tickets to the NASCAR race. Brickyard, for those that listen to the show over the last 9 years, I've been to probably 10, 12 tracks and been to at least 50 different events. But Brickyard was not one of them. That was one of those that I think on every sports fan bucket list, if it be NASCAR or be Indy, either way, being in Indianapolis. Then we got tickets, and as long as the season happens, got tickets to the Cleveland Browns. I want to say, I forget who they're playing. I'm not even going to act like I remember who they're playing this morning. Bought tickets as soon as they announced that tickets were going on sale. Right there at Washington or against Washington. So we were going to watch them September 27th, watch them play the Washington Redskins in Cleveland. I've not been to Cleveland since they left. I watched them the last time I was at the Cleveland game in Cleveland. Was the last season that they were in existence, and they lost in Jacksonville. Had tickets to the Dayton Dragons. They're an affiliate, the minor league affiliate to Cincinnati. That's been so. We already have some sporting events and sporting stuff that we had tickets and things lined up for. And then outside of that, we're supposed to go to a Garth Brooks concert. I had bought Brandy tickets for the concert in Cincinnati at Paul Brown Stadium. That was supposed to happen, I think, back in May. They have rescheduled that for May of next year. And Marshall Tucker Band, that's been rescheduled for later this year. T-Meyer's another one for later this year. And there's like two other concerts. I think one we got money back for, another one I think still not. We moved back to Ohio. This was supposed to be a summer and the year that I actually had some kind of life and did things versus the house or just working. So kind of upset about that. But two games, NFL preseason. I like that. I'm glad they did that. I wish it'd be a permanent thing. Also, the NFL will not have a supplemental draft this year. The NFL Management Council Executive Committee discussed the issue and decided not to hold the supplemental draft while the coronavirus was going on. Under the CBA, and NFL may elect to hold a supplemental draft each year. The matter was discussed. The NFL Management Council Executive Committee, in light of the current condition, the decision was made not to hold one. It's going to affect players like Josh Gordon and Terrell Pryor that we're looking forward to maybe use this as an opportunity to get back into the NFL. So there's another name as well that this could possibly affect. Well, there were two names that were out of recent settlement drafts, but I see the Josh Gordon's name back in the. That man can't just leave the weed alone, can he? Kills me with that. I don't understand why he. I've never known anybody so addicted to weed in my life. I've never known weed to be an addictive drug, and I've been around for potheads in my lifetime. I know some people that smoke. But not lose a career, not lose $1 million over, not even to lose a regular job over. Yeah, you know, they did it because they wanted to or could. If they didn't, weren't allowed, or if their livelihood depended on it, or an NFL career worth millions of dollars was on the line, no, that wouldn't be. That's just insane to me. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Top five receivers. We're going to jump into that here for a few as we get ready to wrap things up for the night. Don't forget, tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Race Chat Live, Alan Bestwick, that car analyst, ESPN. Very long resume, talented, highly respected. We'll be joining the guys. Make sure you guys tune in for that. Don't forget, you guys can like us on Facebook, 110, the 110 Nation Sports. You can like us, follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. Make sure you jump over the site. We can find my top five list, all my top 50 NCAA football previews. I have started at number 50. I am down to completed number 45. And where you can see my breakdown of all 32 NFL teams, like the rest of the NFL season. Last night, I released my top five. Number five on the list, Amari Cooper, 70 catches, 1,100 yards, 16.1 yards, catch, 8 touchdowns. I know Amari Cooper on the list. There's a lot of things that... a lot of reasons why he made my top five list. He ended up catching 79 of 119 passes. That's good. only not get 40 out of almost 120 passes that were targeted. 1,100 yards, 1,189. He's entering his 5-year contract worth $100 million. I know you only want to win, but you got my money, you don't make a difference. Only people in the season saying I'm worth every last penny. I'm going to prove to you I'm worth every last penny, and I'm going to prove to you that if I get an opportunity to make through these 5 years and get one more contract, that I'm going to have the biggest payday in my life as my last contract. So there's a couple of things, a couple ways you look at contract situation and whether it has an effect this season. Then let's throw in a couple other scenarios here. We got Dak Prescott, who went ahead and took and he gets contract. He took the I can't think of the word top of my head. Franchise tag. That was a wild song. From over $31 million. He feels that he should be the highest paid NFL player, highest quarterback. I don't know why this is in his mind. He's not done anything to even qualify to be that highly paid. But you betting on your season. Instead of taking that, I think they were willing to pay him up to $35 million, and that wasn't enough for him. He feels that he's worth more than Patrick Mahomes. He's worth more than Russell Wilson, who are both quarterback Super Bowl champions, and there's a reason why they're getting paid the money they're getting paid. Instead, you're betting on yourself that you can put up
one more, you can put up a season that is worth proving that you should be paid like no other quarterback. And who do you think is going to be receiving in a lot of these catches? That's right, Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is all about being in the right place at the right time. Now you've got a quarterback on the mission trying to prove that he should be the highest paid quarterback. Somebody's got to catch those balls, and that's what put him right in the tent. Then you got the whole uncertainty of Ezekiel Elliott with COVID-19, the videos that everybody's seen the other day, him forgetting to turn his webcam off, and admitting that he was basically high as a freak. So who knows? But that's why he made number five on my list. Number four, Julio Jones. I've been around 2011, 9 years in the season. We think he was slowing down. Yes, not. 99 catches last year. 99, more than any. Well, I'm not saying more than anybody. DeAndre Hopkins was used a lot. And of course, Michael Thomas as well. But third most catches in the Hall of Fame. Let's go with that. About 394 yards, 0.1 yards per catch, 6 touchdowns. Only Antonio Brown has more catches than Jones in 797 since early in 2011. And nobody has more yards than Jones with 12,125. And Matt Ryan, Jones and Ryan both have something. One year still salty. That's still got to be salty that you allowed the Patriots to have the greatest comeback against you. Then last year, season just didn't go the way we wanted it to. We're getting to the end. End of the road. Yes, that's right. We're getting to the end of the road. Year number 9. Actually, year number 10 for Julio Jones. There's not too many years left for Julio Jones. And the Atlanta Falcons eventually are going to run out of patience with Matt Ryan. Plus, we're getting to the end of his road as well. Man, so it's time to put up or shut up. And you got your still really an ideal situation here. You got New Orleans who's going to have their distractions and everything else. Whether or not, how the players are going to just get past Drew Brees, wanting to respect the military and not kneel during the national anthem, which is all it caused the whole to do and everything else. And so we'll see how that goes. You got Carolina, who no longer has Cam Newton, and really is kind of having to refine themselves. And then you got Tampa Bay. Is Tom Brady the last year, or not so much last year, but the 42-year-old version of him the 2 years ago, where he led the Patriots to the greatest comeback and had a hell of a lot of uncertainty. He bring back a Gronkowski who has been retired. I mean, granted, he's doing WWE and staying in shape, but things have changed. And so you got a division. Finish the win. Number 3 on the list is Stephon Diggs. Found himself from Minnesota to Buffalo. Easier schedule. I mean, you at least got to play the Jets twice. You at least got to play Miami twice, and with the other 30 people in England, there too. So not a bad gig versus having to play Green Bay twice, versus having to play the Lions twice, and versus playing having to play the Minnesota Vikings twice, or I'm sorry, the Chicago Bears twice. You got a better receiving corps with you. Diggs was a beast last year, and he led the league. He had the most catches of 20 or more yards, air yards, and no other receiver had more yards, 76 yards or touchdowns, which had 7 on those passes. So I put Stephon Diggs in my number 3 spot, and looking forward to seeing how and if Buffalo Bills can make something happen with Diggs. Number 2 on this, DeAndre Hopkins. Who would ever thought that Arizona would have traded Texas would have traded DeAndre Hopkins off for Davey Johnson in a couple drafts? But here we are. And so DeAndre Hopkins last year had 104 catches, 1,165 in the yards, 11.2 yards per catch, 7 touchdowns. Not a lot of yards per catch, but John Watson was the supportive much doesn't make the greatest decision. Now you put DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best, with Kyler Murray. And uncertainty came off of coming off a great season, though. And they have a chance to build this chemistry, and Hopkins has opportunity to help develop Murray. And this could down the road a couple years, maybe not this year, maybe not next year, maybe next year, who knows. This could be a very rewarding situation for Hopkins and jumpstart Murray's career and make Arizona be relevant and compete with the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks this year. And number one on the list, of course, Michael Thompson, 149 catches, 1,725 yards, 11.6 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns. Tell you what, when you got Drew Brees, regardless, you support the fact that he did not want to disrespect the military, or the fact that you feel that it's out of your, however you look at the scenario, you cannot change the fact that Drew Brees is the most accurate quarterback in the NFL last year, going 281 to 378 passes for 74.3%. Now, you listen to Richard Sherman and them go yapping at the gums, talking about, arguably, Cam Newton's contract, and he's 59%, but barely over hitting half his passes. He got Drew Brees at 74.3%. Thomas led all receivers yards after catch for 588 and first downs 91. With names like Alvin Kamara, Emmanuel Sanders, and Jared Cook to help spread out the defense and keep the defense, and not to mention the running back. And I say that not to mention then I drew a total play. I can see him. And I can see the fact that his dad played, and I don't know if they can play for the exact same team. And I played in Alabama. Like, it is all right there, the tip of my tongue, and I am drawing the biggest of points right now. And I can't believe that drawing the biggest link. And I was continuing to draw the biggest link. But anyway, and sometimes how that cookie grumbles with that, I guess. don't know. But keep grumbling. We'll pick that down conversation on Monday. All the people left from the show. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock. They got live with Chris Craig. They got Alan Bestwick joining us. Make sure you guys tune in to that. Make sure you guys go over and give us a like on Facebook, the 110 Nation Sports. Follow us on Twitter at 110 Nation. And make sure to go over and check out the site, www.the110nationsports.com, for all the latest going on right here. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, Race Chat Live. Chris and Craig. Myself, I will be returning here next Monday night, 8 o'clock, for the 110 Nation Sports Show. Izzo will be joining me at 8:30. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to the 110 Nation Sports Show with Mr. CJ Sports. You are a part of the 110 Nation, so be sure to visit the 110nation.com for everything related to the show. You can follow CJ on Twitter at 110 Nation and on Facebook at 110 Nation Sports. Until next time.